Our New Testament reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, can be found on page 1160. Treasures in jars of clay. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to the death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Heavenly Father, may my lips faithfully speak your word, and may we all be filled with the light of your presence, that we might shine in the darkness to the glory of your name. Amen. Let me open with a true story told by Selwyn Hughes, an eminent Christian author and evangelist, in his book Sharing Your Faith. Bjorn, a young Swedish medical doctor, took me to his home, this is Selwyn speaking, following a service which I had preached in the town of Gothenburg, Sweden. My subject that night had been sharing the faith. And I had tried to encourage the people present to share their faith with their friends and neighbours. Bjorn had also invited a group of young people to his home, and we all sat around the supper table. He said, "Your message has fired me with such a desire to share Jesus Christ with someone. I don't think I can go to sleep tonight without telling someone about him." So one of the young people then jumped in and said, "Why don't we telephone someone, anyone, and sing to them about the love of Jesus. They all thought this was a good idea. So someone picked up a telephone directory, and that can tell you how old the story is. Who picks up a telephone directory anymore? And selected a name and a number and proceeded to dial it. As soon as the telephone was picked up the other end, they got round the mouthpiece and sang the song. Jesus is the answer to the world today. Without him, there's no living. Without him, there's no way. And there is such a song, I Googled it. When they finished singing, they paused to hear what kind of reaction it had brought. After a few moments' silence, they heard some heavy sobbing, and a voice said, "You will never know what these words have meant to me. This very moment, I was just about to end my life. Please tell me if Jesus can help me with my problems." Within minutes, Bjorn and the young people made their way to the person's house and led her to a joyous acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's an example, if an unusual one, of witnessing, and perhaps you could argue there was safety in numbers there, but it's something of a miracle nevertheless, but a striking example. And as this is the first in the sermon series linking to the parish theme of "You Are My Witnesses," and because the whole thing about witnessing can be a bit scary to some people, I'd just like to quote once more from Selwyn Hughes. "It is incumbent upon every Christian, at appropriate moments and in the right circumstances, to share the reality of Christ with their non-Christian friends and acquaintances. However, a balance is needed between evangelistic responsibility and the genuine difficulties which confront each one of us as we attempt to verbally present Christ to the world." And this is the encouraging bit. "Where most Christians go wrong is when they try to copy someone else rather than be themselves. Witnessing, if it is to be successful, must be in harmony with one's basic temperament and personality. Otherwise, it simply comes across as phony and artificial. The only witnessing that is productive is natural witnessing, witnessing consistent with who and what you are." I may have quoted that before, but for me it's quite comforting and encouraging. The whole thing about witnessing isn't meant to be a guilt trip. And Paul isn't making it that way either. So let's see what he's got to say. And let's just take a moment to put his words in context. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians addressed complex pastoral issues, and his second letter responded in part, at least, to the good news he'd received about that community from Timothy. This chapter, 1160 in the Church Bibles, if you wish to follow and have close them up in the meantime, begins with the much used word "therefore," which means we really need to loop back a few verses to see what it is referring to. And at the end of chapter 3, we read, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Which is why Paul begins chapter 4 by talking about his ministry, and we'll come back to that in a minute. I just want to focus in on the theme for this morning, which is essentially verse 6. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of the darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." And if our aim is to let that light shine, how are we going to do it, and how does this passage help us? In a number of ways, but I think we can chunk these into three. We can firstly look at the example of Paul's ministry. We can look at God's use of the ordinary, and then the outcome and our ultimate hope. So, example of Paul's ministry, basically verses 1 to 6 of our passage. Some daily Bible notes ask the question, what is it that gets Paul out of bed in the morning? The answer, the prospect of the opportunity of another day to share the gospel and to share Christ with other people. I wonder if that is our first thought when our alarm goes off in the morning. I'm sure it's not always mine, I have to confess. Sometimes it's just, I don't know what day of the week it is, but that shouldn't matter, should it, as far as spreading the word's concerned. But Paul is using a powerful tool here. He's using his own testimony and experience to encourage others. He's sharing what it is that keeps him going. He doesn't lose heart because it's a great task witnessing for God, and because he remembers the mercy he's received. We may not have anything compared to Paul's Damascus Road experience, where he initially and so dramatically saw God's glory, but we can preach to others the Christ that we have met ourselves. And one can't really talk meaningfully about something, can one, unless one really believes in it, or it doesn't make sense if one knows nothing about it. It may sound plausible for a while, but then it will eventually, the credibility will eventually founder. I have to say, I was married to somebody who had the gift of making something sound very plausible when actually it wasn't at all. And he was very good at talking about things he knew absolutely nothing about, and often used this so-called gift to wind people up. But I do have to say, in a fairly harmless way. And there might even be people here that were wound up by him. Paul's teaching had been opposed and slandered by some, but he is clear. The word of God only has to be presented in a straightforward way. It doesn't have to be manipulated. It doesn't have to be distorted. It doesn't have to be wrapped up in sugar. And to my mind, it also doesn't have to be wrapped up in too much theological packaging, which can obscure the basic message. At least it can for those like me that might not understand what's being said. The direction to enable God's word to work can also be found in the Old Testament, and that source of much prophecy and wisdom in the book of Isaiah. We read, "As the rain and the snow came down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for what I sent it." Importantly, Paul is saying, we must preach Christ and not ourselves. We are simply pointing people to Jesus. So in him, all will see God. As Jesus told his disciples, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." We may be communicating and sharing the good news in a clear way, but spiritual blindness is nevertheless a big issue. The devil, the god of this age, in Paul's words, wants people to keep people in ignorance. But God doesn't abandon those who don't accept the gospel. It is they who have cut themselves off from him. So we might be thinking, mightn't we, Paul was something of a special person. We can't be anything like that. But that brings us to our second point of encouragement, namely that God's use of the ordinary, verses 7 to 12. "Let the light shine out of the darkness." Jesus shines in the ordinary and in the everyday. That's you and me and what we do with our lives. Paul compares those who bear the gospel to jars of clay, things easily broken, but that just demonstrates that the power comes from God and not from us. Our gospel reading this morning emphasizes the importance of that light within us and concludes, "Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it is dark, it will be completely lighted, as when the light of a lamp shines on you." God uses us, doesn't he, in our weakness, not in what strength we have. But whatever state we're in, we're given a series of but nots as a support. We're hard pressed but not crushed. We're perplexed but not in despair. Persecuted but not abandoned. Struck down but not destroyed. There will be times when, as Christians, we don't know what is to be done. But we don't doubt that something can be done. It isn't that we never fall down, it's just that we get up again. It isn't that we're never beaten, but we're not defeated. On a slightly frivolous note, I tried to think of that yesterday. I was running a very hard 10K. It was far hillier than I ever remembered. And I nearly gave up halfway up a hill and walked, but I was determined not to, so I wasn't defeated. But these are easy words, aren't they, to say? And I know that there are a number in this fellowship whose faith is being tested right now, and we do pray that they will hold firm, because God will not abandon them. Jesus died for us. That is the death that is working in us, that we might be truly alive and revealing his life and light to others. That kept Paul going, and so it should us too. Why? Because thirdly, we see the outcome and the ultimate hope, verses 13 to 18. Paul had plenty of troubles in his life. All Christians will undoubtedly have some. But he was convinced that through his sufferings and trials, others were being brought to the light and love of God. And that's very clear in verse 15. As Paul says at the beginning of this letter, and again in verse 16, he didn't lose heart, and nor should we. I like the thought that although we may grow physically weaker as we grow older and less able to do the things that we once could do and become more dependent on others, we are growing stronger spiritually. To quote one commentator, "No one need fear the years, for they bring them nearer, not to death, but to God." And however we suffer now, these things are just momentary compared to the wonders of eternal life that are coming in Christ. We can't see those glories, but we believe they are there for us. So let light shine out of the darkness. Let's be encouraged by, firstly, the example of Paul's ministry. Secondly, how Jesus shines in the ordinary and everyday. And thirdly, by the ultimate hope of glory with our Lord, which will last forever. However, if we have that light of God in our hearts, it isn't just for our benefit, but that it should be used to reach others for him. We should all let that light shine in the darkness. We may not have the immediate impact of that telephone call I described earlier, especially if we sing down the phone. But who knows? We don't know, do we? We don't know till we try, as they say. We need to remember the past and what Jesus sacrificed for us. And we will be doing that in the Eucharist very soon in this service. But we also need to remember the future and focus on the unseen realities which are imperishable and not on the seen things of this world which won't last. So let's hold a moment's quiet just to reflect on how this passage has spoken to each one of us this morning, and then we will close together in prayer. So if you could take your red service books and turn to page 47, we're going to close by using the words of this old hymn, which I think reflects much of what we've been thinking and can perhaps also help prepare our hearts to come to the Lord's table this morning. So page 47, and we will say together, "Come, Holy Ghost, our souls inspire, and lighten with celestial fire. Thou the anointing spirit art, who dost thy sevenfold gifts impart. Thy blessed unction from above is comfort, life, and fire of love. Enable with perpetual light the dullness of our blinded sight. Anoint and cheer our soiled face with the abundance of thy grace. Keep far our foes, give peace at home. Where thou art guide, no ill can come. Teach us to know the Father, Son, and thee of both to be but one, that through the ages all along, this may be our endless song. Praise to thy eternal merit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen."